It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Elder O'Neill is standing by, who's going to be helping us chew on chapter 46. It's a Wednesday and it's 28 minutes before 2. Good afternoon to you, Elder, and welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me. Afternoon, and how are you?
I could be better. I'm having a terrible day today, but I'm going to come up. I'll be all right. I just need to walk it off, I think. Are you ready for today's conversation, Elder?
Yes, I am. Yes.
All right. We're doing chapter 46 today, Elder. We're doing chapter 46. Is that the right chapter for you as well?
Yes, yes. We're discussing Genesis chapter 46 today. Okay.
All right. It reads as follows. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifice to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob, here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts and Pharaoh had sent to transport him. They also took with them their livestock and the possessions they had acquired in Canaan, and Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. These are the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his descendants, who went to Egypt. Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, the sons of Reuben, Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jakid, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan had died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez, Hezron, and Hamul. The sons of Issachar, Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulon, Zered, Elon, and Jaleel. These were the sons of Leah that Leah bore to Jacob in Padan Aram. Besides his daughter Dinah, these sons and daughters of his were 33 in all. The sons of Gad, Zephon, Haggi, Shuni, Esbon, Eri, Erodi, and Areli. The sons of Asher, Imna, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah. Their sister was Sarah. The sons of Beriah, Hebar, and Melchiel. These were the children born to Jacob by Zilpah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Leah. 16 in all. Whew. The sons of Jacob's wife Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. In Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. The sons of Benjamin, Bela, Becher, Eshbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ard. These were the sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob 14 in all. The sons of Dan, Hushim. The sons of Naphtali, Jaziel, Guni, Jezar, and Shalem. These were the sons born to Jacob by Bilhah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Rachel, 7 in all. Not counting his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons, with the 2 sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt. The members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "How? Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household, who were living in the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds. They tend to livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks what is your occupation, you should answer, "Your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did." Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, now and forever. Amen. Elder O'Neill Mwemba, your comments briefly.
Thank you, Mdala. Thank you for reading of the word. Yeah, quite a history there.
Indeed.
In terms of the family of Israel.
Right.
That went into Egypt.
Right.
I'd like to pick the first point that when God spoke to Jacob. Here the Bible tells us he appeared to him. Okay, and in his dream, and spoke to him.
Right.
To assure him that he shouldn't be worried. Because it seems he was worried after he received the message. First of all, that his son Joseph was alive.
Right.
And that Joseph wants him and everything they own to go to Egypt to him. He was worried.
Okay.
That God appeared in a vision at night and spoke to him. So this made him at ease. This is the first point. It had to take God to speak to Jacob, just so that he can accept to go to meet his son.
Mm.
Now, Have we ever wondered if God didn't appear to him, if he would have gone or not? Because, mind you, these were foreigners. And this is Egypt we are talking about, where they were not welcome.
Right.
Now, to be told, first of all, you think your son is dead, has been dead many years, and now he's alive. And now he hasn't come himself. He sent the brothers and children to say, "Go and tell my father I'm alive, and then you come stay with me." Mm. So it wasn't easy for the old man to believe what the other children had told him.
Right.
And God knew that. And Joe, and because he had a relationship that he had spent with God, God knew how difficult this situation was for him. Mm. So he had to speak to his manservant and say, "Do not be afraid. I will be with you. I will make you great. And Joseph's own hand will cover you." Now, this, Mdala, answers our question in the last study, in the last chapter,
okay,
where you had asked to say, how did Joseph know that God was involved in this? Now, God says, Joseph's own hand will cover you, which tells us that God was with Joseph. And it was his plan that Joseph must be there. And he knew that if his manservant doesn't go to Egypt, he'll die of hunger. So he needed him to go.
Right.
So he goes. Yes. So there's that obedience that comes in also from Jacob to go to the land of Egypt because God has spoken.
Okay.
Not only did his son speak, but God has spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then... yes, Ndal.
No, go ahead, Ndal.
Yes. And then we see the whole family being named out here. Name one by one, we are told who was born from which mother and all of them. And at the end of the passage, you were being told that there were 66, including Joseph and his sons that were born to Joseph in Egypt. There were 70 in all. That was a big family. Yeah. So it means that everybody went to Egypt.
Yeah. Okay.
There is that, of course. And then there is the part where Joseph also speaks to them and says, look, I will speak to Pharaoh. I will speak to Pharaoh that you stay there because the shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians, meaning they will accept you because you are shepherds.
Okay, I want us to get into it, Abdallah. I want us to just chew on a few things here. The first thing is that bothered me when I was reading this is, what is this man's name really? Is his name Jacob or is he Israel?
Okay, so his name is Jacob, but he's also known as Israel.
But it was changed by God. When he fought with the angel said, "You will no longer be called Jacob. From now on, your name is Israel."
Yes.
But now we see him being called Jacob, sometimes Israel, then sometimes Jacob. What is his name? It was that angel wrong to call him Israel. What exactly is his name?
His name is Israel because he was changed.
Then why?
Okay.
Why does verse 2 confuse us like this? Because God himself calls him Jacob. Verse 2 says, "And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob."
Yeah.
If we are correct to say it was God who called him Israel, you'll no longer be called Jacob, you'll be called Jacob. Why is God still calling him Jacob, and yet God himself called him Israel? What's going on here?
Interesting, Lala. Interesting. His name, his original name was Jacob. And his name was changed to Israel. But there's also a connotation as to why the names are being used interchangeably.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Israel could sometimes refer to Jacob and his descendants. You know, and we know that time in memorial, sometimes we referred to all the descendants of Jacob as the children of Israel. So I don't know why God still referred to him as Jacob, but he is Israel after God changed his name.
Let's go to Genesis.
I want to believe that the continuous use of the name Jacob is just so that you and I, just so that the mankind, us now, can understand who we are talking about. We are talking about Israel, who was Jacob.
I
just like Paul was Saul.
I want you to understand my predicament there, Mdala. Read with me Genesis chapter 35, verse 10. Genesis chapter 35, verse 10, going forward, says, God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you. Blah, 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 blah. God is the one who says you will no longer be called Jacob. But here, Genesis chapter 46, God is saying, Jacob, Jacob.
Wow. I know it's confusing.
It is.
And for somebody who doesn't know that when the name was changed and hasn't read, would be confused to say, who are you talking about? Are you talking about Israel or are you talking about Jacob? What is his name? Like you have put it, what is his name?
My issue is not even the confusion. I know it's the same person. My issue are the pronouncements that come out of the mouth of God. God pronounces in Genesis 35 that you will no longer be called Jacob. But 11 chapters down the line, God, the very same God, the very same God said you will no longer be called, is the very same one who's calling him Jacob, Jacob. My worry is, what are we to make of the pronouncements that come out of them, that proceed from the mouth of God? Or better yet, what are we to make of this Jacob? Because we're getting the story narrated by who? Who's narrating this story? Is it possible that the person who's writing this doesn't know what they're talking about? Surely, God cannot be confused. If God said his name is no longer going to be Jacob, God can't be the same one calling him Jacob 11 chapters down the line.
No.
So no, help me chew on this. What is the problem there? Because I shudder to imagine that perhaps there is something we are not understanding here. So please help me chew on this, Imdal.
You know, these books were written by men. I know that men were inspired by God. Okay?
Right.
But at the end of the day, God cannot be confused. Okay? And he changed his name to Israel. We called him Israel. So I want to believe that it's the writer. I want to believe that it's a writer that wrote Jacob.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the writer that wrote Jacob. Because I don't think God, after he called him Israel, could continue calling him Jacob after he says, you will no longer be called Jacob.
So there's something wrong with the writer. The writer is lying to us here.
Yes, I think the writer kept referring to him as Jacob.
Mdala here, is using quotation marks. So it's not his, it's not the writer's words. The writer is alleging these are God's words. When you read it, in all the versions that you read in, it's using quotation marks. Quotation marks take the words out of the mouth of the writer into the words of the person alleged to be speaking. And here it is alleged to be God speaking. So the writer is saying it is God who said that.
Oh, Mdala.
Let's move on, Mdala.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
For the sake of progress.
Right. Verse 5. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts. They also took with them their livestock and blah, 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 blah. Now, what was rather interesting for me is verse 7. Verse 7 says, he took with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters. How many daughters did he have? We were told that this man had 13 children, 12 boys and one daughter, Dinah. Now, the writer is telling us in verse 7 that they are daughters, plural. How many daughters did he have? How many do you know, Dad?
This is profound. I know of one. And then here it's plural.
It says daughters.
His daughters and granddaughters. Oh, his.
Now, granddaughters. Now, granddaughters, I can grant that. They're granddaughters. But my question is, all this time we have been told of 13 children. But in chapter 46, we're introduced to more than just 13. Dinah appears not to be the only one.
Jacob brought with him to Egypt his sons.
Right.
And grandsons. And his daughters. I want to...
Yes, Dad.
That this... This expression, his daughters here, could not mean that he had more daughters than Dinah. I want to believe that this plural is being used to refer to his sons' wives as daughters as well. To say his daughters. I don't think it refers to him having more daughters than we already know. It's not there. It's not supported by scripture anyway that there was more than we find it here where it says daughters. So it would mean that his son's wives have also been included in daughters, even though they are specified somewhere else.
Okay.
But I want to believe that the daughters includes the son's wives.
Right.
Yes, madam.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. So in your explanation, in your commentary, Dala, you said something that I was going to touch on, and I want you to just expound on it. Verse 27 says, with the two sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt, the members of Jacob's family which went to Egypt were 70 in all. Is that to say... Joseph is part of the 70.
Yes, it's part of the 70.
And it says here with the two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So Manasseh and Ephraim are part of the 70.
Yes, they're part of the 70.
Now, what about Asenath? Is Asenath part of the 70? Because the two sons come from Asenath. Asenath is the wife that he got in Egypt. He didn't come with her from Israel. This is a black beauty from Egypt, a Nubian princess, Asenath. Some are saying it's Asenati. Does that 70 include her? Because we know she did not go into it. She was born there.
Yes, she was born in Egypt. But in this narration, she has been included. If you do your math, okay?
Yes.
When Israel, his sons and his descendants came to Egypt, there were 66 in total.
Yeah.
70 minus 66 is 4.
Right.
So who are these 4?
Yeah.
Who are these 4 that make it 70?
Right.
And that's why we talk about the two...
Joseph, Asenath, the two boys.
So Asenath has been included, now has become, by virtue of being married to Joseph, has become the descendant of Israel.
So Asenath is part of Israel.
Has become part of Israel. Because now Asenath is part of Israel because by marriage to Joseph.
Right.
That gives us 70.
Okay. So Asenath became an Israelite by marriage to Joseph.
Yeah. Yes.
But we were told that Joseph became an Egyptian. He became the ruler of Egypt.
Remember when God was talking to Israel,
right?
He says, "You go. Don't be worried. Go.
Right, right.
I'll make you great, but I will take you out again."
Right.
Meaning at some point I'll take you out. And by taking you out here,
right,
it means taking everybody, including Joseph and his family.
Right.
Asenath included.
Right.
And that's why Asenath has been included in the 70. We can't separate her. By marriage, she's part of now Israel's descendants.
I am okay with that, Mdada. What I'm trying to establish now is, if Asenath became an Israelite, does it mean that Jacob was never an Egyptian? Is that what it means there? He never became Egyptian?
He was an Egyptian by citizenship.
I'm not sure I understand where you're coming from, Dalip.
when you're a citizen by citizenship, it means that you come from somewhere by descent. So he was an Egyptian by citizenship. But remember, Joseph was, but for a purpose.
Okay.
Was for a purpose. King was to save his family.
Right.
God had seen this many years before, that this time will come.
Right.
And I need to place Joseph in there to save his clan.
Right. Okay. Dada, let's leave it there. perhaps we have a lot to chew on as far as chapter 47. Now you know the tenor of our diet here, how we chew on things. let's meet on Friday as we chew on chapter 47. I'm done. Have a wonderful day further. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me, dear listeners. Thank you for joining us. This has been Elder O'Neill Mwemba from Brentwood Drive Church in Lusaka, Zambia. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Mdad.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.